Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Heidecker, and you are listening to Hey Fan. Enjoy your morning.
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins.
Hello sports fans, my name is Angus Truscott.
We are coming to you live from the number one sports bar in Sydney, the 871 Bar.
Yep.
Where is it? Don't look it up.
We'll never tell.
Just go into the middle of the city. Any time of the week. Currently it's like 11:45 a.m. on a Monday.
Yeah, and we're not alone. There's always one other person here.
There's always more sports fans
who isn't working here.
But yeah, just go into the city, yell sports at the top of your voice, and then...
If you have a desire to see any ball shaped from an oval to a perfect circle, your heart will guide you here.
And we came here to discuss something very important. We've finally caught up on all five of the first episodes of the new HBO series Westworld.
Is this the first time we've done this since last year? Like watched a show concurrent to its viewing schedule?
Totally.
This is like vintage Hey Fam.
When we started this podcast, the first episode was the first week that the second season of True Detective started.
Yeah,
and also the first episode of Ballers.
Yeah, yeah.
So we spoke about a new
HBO.
Episode of True Detective for the first 10 episodes or whatever of Hey Fam.
And wasn't that an amazing
rollercoaster
ride? Yeah, yeah. Here we are again. We have more purpose, more glue to hold this podcast together, brought to you by HBO.
Yeah, and also... before we talk about that HBO show, that other little company that continues to supply us with glue that holds this little podcast together.
Yeah.
Those fucking insane maniacs at Nintendo.
They're so crazy. They have two HQs right next to each other. I can vouch. That's weird. They have two Nintendo buildings.
Just a little quick little update on them. They have done something really strange that I don't think has ever been done before. And they've basically updated a game from 4 years ago. Five years ago.
What
almost.
Game is this?
Animal Crossing with DLC.
2013.
Right.
Yeah, it was 23
three
years,
and a half
which
years
is massive. 3.5 is very long. Yeah, yeah.
It never really got a proper update, and now it's been given a big proper update.
Yeah.
And I am now contemplating...
It's enough for you to get it back out, isn't it? That's
yeah.
what you're thinking.
It's
That's
also
crazy.
Enough for me to buy a fucking peripheral that allows me to scan in amiibos to a system that I don't even use these
And guess
days.
What? That's not anecdotal. He's literally rocked up with a wireless 3DS NFC scanner. It's amazing.
And I was given to it at a discounted price because the clerk at EB Games, Parramatta Westfield...
Reckons you're rich.
He recognized me from DJing at the Venga Boys show the other night.
That's the best. I mean, I know you just got a discount on these drinks. Do you reckon this is why as well?
I think so, too. I think for the rest of my life, I will be heavily discounted in all things.
As the Venga Boys DJ?
As the official Venga Boys DJ.
Now... How's it been? Let's talk about you, that's a big show, isn't it? You've been playing sold out shows every night.
Yeah, I've played to about 25,000 people in the last 10 days.
That's like Oasis. Sorry, I just watched a documentary about them, which was amazing.
That's the only band you know.
It's the only band I know, but yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to take my 3DS on tour for the rest of the shows. I've got four more dates left. I've got one more Sydney.
We've already caught up on Melbourne. Westworld. That was one peripheral entertainment you took with you.
Yeah, yeah. I got a really heavy discount on Westworld.
Yeah, through, me too. The old El Pirate Bayo.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, everybody knows your name.
I think I'm going to take my 3DS on tour. I haven't really taken my 3DS out with me in a long while. And I know when the Switch was announced, I was like, oh, I can't wait to like take the Switch out and play video games on the go again.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I have a 3DS. I have a DS. I haven't used them in forever. I'm looking forward to taking it out on the road.
You have the Switch 0.1.
Yeah.
Have any of the Venga Boys, do you think, will they have a 3DS and will you get their Miis?
I don't think...
Who are you on tour with?
It's Venga Boys, Crystal Waters. Crystal Waters is the absolute highlight of the show. These are all 90s dance acts, if these names aren't familiar to you.
Yeah.
So Venga Boys, Crystal Waters, Wigfield, Tina Cousins.
Tina Cousins.
And Joanne.
Out of all of them, who do you think is the most likely to be a 3DS player, owner, and constant carrier around on tour?
I am going to put myself out there and say none of them, but maybe one of the Venga Boys.
I reckon one of the Venga Boys.
Because there are some younger... The crazy thing about the Venga Boys is that it's always been the same two girls in Venga Boys. And then there have been like six other dudes throughout the history of the Venga Boys.
All exchangeable.
In Venga Boys canon.
All interchangeable.
That's
wow.
right.
You know I love canon.
So yeah, the weird fact about the Venga Boys, it's the girls who hold that band together.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's about bloody time.
So hopefully one of them has a 3DS. Hopefully one of them will want to hop on board Animal Crossing. The coolest thing I want to talk about in Animal Crossing is that you can scan in Zelda and Splatoon amiibo.
And they're hanging out with you in
your
town.
And they can ask them to move into your town.
Now, does that mean they become one of the NPCs that you chat to?
One of the villagers. So you can have Wolf Link or Ganon, like Blue Ganon from Link to the Past.
How do they look? Do they look Animal Crossing?
Yeah, it's fucking cool.
Yeah, wow.
Well, I mean, this is the classic goofy Nintendo give you like this dumb gimmick.
Why shouldn't this happen?
Those things appeal to me so much and it's so easy.
You are the target market for this.
I don't know why... I saw this thing, this stupid Nintendo Direct, which is...
Yeah, the Direct is almost like an Adult Swim video. I was watching it thinking it's like an Adult Swim video, right?
And they released two Directs in the last week. One of them is about this new game called Miitopia, which doesn't make any sense.
And Sakurai
whatsoever.
Makes an appearance at the end.
Yeah.
Man, as soon as I watched that, I sent you that thing. How is Sakurai 46 years old? He looks 21. He's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's perhaps the most beautiful looking person I've ever seen. He's one of the eggheads behind Super Smash Brothers. It's his baby.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I love that. I'll criticize Nintendo so much for all these dumb mistakes, and then all it takes is the stupidest update. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I'll fork out another $50 to your company, like without even thinking.
Well, hey, that's you, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's it's a free update, I'll download it. I got the game somewhere.
Yeah, you should definitely update it. There's some other cool things that they've added. You can now. They're very aware that a lot of people haven't played, even opened up their 3DS to play Animal Crossing in, 2.5 years. So you can now sell your old town and then start a new town with heaps of bells, heaps of money.
That's very appealing for someone
super
like
cool.
me. That's a very cool move.
I know when you reopen the game, it's going to be full of cockroaches and
you just get guilt-tripped by every village member for like having a social
life. I'm going to fucking kill all my villages and then open a new one.
Yeah, maybe I'll do the same. Maybe we could do a thing, see how long each of us could start playing Animal Crossing for again.
Yeah, I'm really keen. I love Animal Crossing. Like if you haven't played it before, it's a pretty mundane Sims-esque kind of thing, but it's so
Nintendo glossy. It's the perfect phone game.
Yeah, totally. Like when
something you pick up while you're on the train or when you're taking a shit, it's perfect. But carrying around a Nintendo 3DS just isn't as convenient as an iPhone, unfortunately.
I got a cool little Luigi pouch that I like to take around.
You do. Yeah. But it is, funnily enough, going to be one of the games coming to iPhone.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of version of it. Another really cool thing is that the biggest thing everyone loved about the Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer game that came out last year, which wasn't that well received, but for those who actually played it, enjoyed it. But you can now like move your furniture and shit around in your house a lot better using the touchscreen instead of like having to pick it up and place it within. This is extremely like
this is hilarious.
But I swear this is something that should appeal to you more than it appeals to me.
Why isn't this like a? Why isn't that from a feature from day one though?
I don't know. They added it. Be happy.
Thanks, guys, for a game I don't own.
All right, enough about Nintendo.
We were saying Miitopia.
Yeah, you want to. RPG.
Well, we don't really know what it is because there's been no English explanation for it. It looks like a bigger budget version of the Mii Street Pass game, basically the castle hunting game or the dungeon whatever game.
Which was a game that you played by carrying your 3DS around in your pocket, and as you passed other people had a 3DS,
and the reward was hats.
Yeah,
you'd play, you'd get through. It was kind of like a turn-based RPG.
I collected all those motherfucking hats.
Yeah, I got the big ass boss one at the end, that crazy one, right? Demon. Like, it was pretty un-Nintendo.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is. It looks like it's just going to be an eShop game.
I don't know if it's going to actually come out in the Western world.
I don't think so. It's coming out December 8th in Japan. I don't think there'll be any chance of that hitting the West. It looks like an eShop game. The direct for it was quite funny. Did you watch
it? Yeah, it was hilarious.
Subtitleless and just kind of like a saga about all these people working together and how at night the female protagonist is kind of a bit shy and stuff at work, but using them all to rescue them and stuff. It was beautiful. She win a fucking like Academy Award for best short foreign film. still have no idea what the game is really. It just kind of looks like an update. Again, I thought that'd be an amazing iPhone game. Like, why couldn't that be an And this is another perfect world scenario. Imagine if that was an update to Mitomo.
Yeah, totally. Like
you actually have a game now as opposed to asking weird questions.
Mitomo is just going to be this weird like blip in...
It's getting a big update though, apparently.
Oh, really?
Where you can have a friend move in with you, you can design your house. So
looking forward to have you move in with me, friend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to living together with you in our perfect Nintendo universe. It's still funny that blows my mind as Mitomo is on the most powerful... Out of all Nintendo's games, it's the one on the most powerful console, and it's the iPhone. Like, it's more powerful than the Wii U. That's bizarre, right? The iPhone 7 is, like, a more experienced whatever.
But, Angus, speaking of moving into a video game...
I got Segway chills.
Westworld is the latest big HBO dramatic series based on the Michael Crichton movie of the late 70s.
Or, yeah, there are some theories that it might be in the same universe. A sequel, perhaps.
That sounds like something
that
would very much
appeal to you.
Because the
park has been running for
30
years.
Right.
Yeah, that's up my alley of soft reboots. but, yeah, it's by Jonah Nolan, better known as Jonathan Nolan of Christopher Nolan fame.
Oh, are they related?
He's the younger brother. He wrote all the Dark Knight films with him.
Right.
Yeah, he's written, like, every Chris Nolan movie.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't realize he was
Yeah, so him and Lisa Joy, who I don't know a lot about, but is bringing a lot of joy to me. No, she did Pushing Daisies and Burn Notice, so whatever. Doesn't have the same pedigree, sorry, to me. I didn't watch either show. And old mate J.J. Abrams slapping his name of approval on it in the form of an executive producer credit. What have you got?
Those aren't hard to get.
They're not hard to get. This guy's dishing them out. If you've got a science fiction series that needs a soft reboot.
Yeah.
JJ's your man.
Have you seen the original movie?
I have years ago, probably in a half asleep state or a heightened state.
There were six glorious months of my high school life in which my family had Foxtel.
Oh, wow.
And that was at the time where Foxtel meant something. Nowadays, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But when I was a teenager, like, I was the fucking kid that had Foxtel.
It's where you had relationships with VJs. And,
yeah, and
you know,
and like, it was like $80 a month.
Yeah,
or
you made
ridiculous
appointments to watch Nick at Night, to watch Ren and Stimpy. Like, you did this stuff.
And there was, I don't remember what the classic movies one was, but that Westworld was screening on it. And they would kind of screen movies.
Like cult, darkish.
Yeah, but they would screen it like, you know, seven times throughout the week. That
so
they
just catch it in parts almost.
I'd straight up watch it seven times in 1 week. So I do remember it pretty well.
I remember being entranced by the video cover when I worked in a video store as a teenager.
I had a poster of the front cover too.
It's incredible.
It's such a
it's
good
an
cover.
Amazing cover. And I was like, how do I not know of this movie that's like a robot? And then obviously found out that I had seen it in the form of a Simpsons episode, essentially. I'm just going to bring up the old poster.
Oh, yeah, the itchy and scratchy.
The original poster, this shit. I mean, look at this.
Look at this shit. I had that poster on my wall. That's the one
amazing
of like the image of the robotic cowboy with
the like lower half of his face removed so he can see all the mechanical bits. He's like half of his fingers are off and he's got these weird syringe looking fingers, not too dissimilar to Scarecrow's hands in the Arkham games.
That's right. And then, and then there's a circle within it of, is it Yul Brenner?
James Brolin's one of the cowboys.
Brolin was the main bad guy.
And it was, I think, the first and last film directed by Michael Crichton, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Who wrote it, the book, and then went on to write Jurassic Park, which again is a very, shares a lot of similar themes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a park in which adults can live out their wildest fantasies.
And old British people are in charge and might have a bit of a messiah complex and don't really understand the difference between life and artificial life.
So this is now an
actually,
HBO
they're both
series.
Exactly the same, aren't they?
There's no like cowboy fuck robots in Jurassic Park.
Well, we don't know.
No one has sex with a velociraptor.
No, but those little ass dinosaurs.
Clever girl.
Well, I don't know. I think we've opened up a whole, you know.
If HBO ever make a Jurassic Park series, you know people
sex
will be
sores.
Having sex with dinosaurs.
Dino sex.
Because that's like the biggest thing that's like, because it's very obviously an HBO series. These robots are fucking nude
You're
all
You're
going to
be seeing
time.
Some big old titties and dicks in this. And trust me, I have. I've seen them all. I've seen them all. I've watched five eps. I've seen it. There's nothing left for me to discover
just,
about the human body.
It's like, it's such a, you know, somber mood. It's all about mood, this
it
show.
It is. I think the thing it does best, to a point of frustration in a sense where you're like, we're five eps in and we kind of haven't been told much. It's mood. Yeah. It nails mood.
Absolutely does.
Yeah. You can tell in a way. Now that, does that make sense given the Nolan pedigree now? You can see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, elevator pitch, what's the show
what
about?
Was that noise?
I was gonna be like, I was like, is anyone here not watching it? Like, what's the show for people who haven't watched it?
So, you know, if you are in the future, at some point, you can go to this theme park where you enter a world that is a Western world, so cowboys.
And this isn't
Indians.
Like an obvious Disney theme park where, you know, it's
no,
clear this is
not
to
Adventureland.
See. This is like a full on experience.
Frontierland.
This looks like it's like massive, it's like the size of a continent almost by
Absolutely.
The looks of things.
Yeah. And there are robots in there that look like people, and you can
Blade Runner vibes. Essentially.
You can follow them on adventures. You can have sex with them. You can shoot them, but they can't harm you.
Yeah, and there's like narratives written by a narrative writing team who run the park, and they can up the stakes in a narrative. So if I could be wandering down the street with Levins, and this old cowboy could come and be like, hey guys, I've heard about this treasure. Do you want to find it? You can go on like a... I mean, it's like an open world game essentially, isn't it?
Then
you
yeah, can, absolutely. I mean, it feels very much like what we're going to experience in Red Dead Redemption 2 comes
yeah.
out.
Yeah, and our friend the GOAT, Hideo Kojima, chimed in this week on it, which was great, saying...
oh man, yeah. Everyone listening, I mean, I assume you already do, but you should definitely follow. Even if you don't play video games and you listen to our podcast
yeah,
for some reason...
Yeah, if you've never played a Metal Gear
follow
game...
Follow Hideo Kojima, the creator of Metal Gear Solid,
he said,
on Twitter. He's unbelievable.
Here he says, I can say the TV version of Westworld is the real open world action game, whereas the original movie version was theme park attraction. Up to episode 3, the reset on NPC side is finally depicted, but how about the continue on player's side being unknown? Now,
yeah,
poetry, I know, but also, yeah, I love the fact that game developers watching it essentially getting hard over like, oh my god, this is what I do for a living.
Absolutely.
I write. Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I'm finding the whole NPC side of things amazing. Like, these... human-esque. I mean, we've gone to a point in the show now where we've learned they're not mechanical. They've made of flesh and bone, like almost like the Cylons and the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. They have blood. They have, you know...
Yeah, and not because it's more like futuristic. It's because
it's cheaper, they said. So I'm thinking like, is it just kind of some stem cell, you know, like cloning shit they're doing?
Yeah.
So we haven't given a time frame. So Anthony Hopkins runs the park.
Yeah, we should say that there are three main threads yeah. that this follows. You have the human visitors to the park and their interactions with the robots within Westworld.
Yeah.
You then have the robots themselves as they begin to almost like achieve sentience yeah. in their own weird way or kind of defy their programming.
A couple of the characters have started to realize that they've been basically like... Because humans are terrible, these things get shot up and fucked every night, basically, in the ultimate
and
form of...
And then fucked in the shot holes.
And then fucked in the shot holes, which is the ultimate form of human decadency, if you will. And these robots, you know, much like a cat or something, they're starting to realize that, you know, their lives are nothing like a cat. But they're starting to realize, hey, I've experienced this deja vu before. Which is, when I'm watching, I'm just... thinking such Nolan vibe still, like Memento or
yeah, definitely.
Like a, oh, this has all happened before type of vibe and Inception.
And the third thread is what I like to call the bullshit that you hate playing in Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, this is great. I love that you called it that.
Because it's, you see, and it's nowhere near as bad as the crappy, no. You know, the shitty future bits of Assassin's Creed where you're like, worse. We're going to send you back to your ancestors. To
yeah, blah, blah,
blah.
And then it's aliens end up being the answer.
And it looks like that's going to be half the fucking movie when the Assassin's Creed movie comes out, so yikes. But, the third thread of Westworld is that you see a lot of the behind-the-scenes yeah. stuff between the writing staff who write the dialogue and the stories for the robots to follow within Westworld, and then the programmers,
like the tech staff
all the
stuff.
Tech stuff, the repair people.
Though I've got to say, it's been getting a bit more interesting now. We're finding out that different people who are visiting the park actually have a stake in it. Like, it's starting to unfold a bit more.
Oh,
like,
I loved the fifth episode. I thought...
Same.
Actually, I mean, there's no slide on the episodes before it, but the fifth episode was the first episode I watched while not doing something else.
I think the first one was my favorite for a long time, just because it had that amazing shootout with the... oh, the score is amazing, too, using, like, Radiohead and Rolling Stones.
Fucking Black Hole Sun.
Yeah, Black Hole Sun, The Cure. Like, it's insane. So, it's like one of those old automatic pianos where you have the, you know, those dots that roll
and
around.
And it's like honky-tonk, like... Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, but sometimes dun, dun, you'll get some crazy, dun, 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 like, modern like, songs, because I guess this is a park for contemporary, you know,
yeah.
audiences. But that shootout to paint it black was when I was like, oh, shit, this is fucking sick. But yeah, the fifth episode was great. Reminded me of, like, an adult version of when Pinocchio and his friends go to the island, the Pleasure Island, where it's they all turn into donkeys. They're in this, like, decadent part of the land, which... Do they say it was one of the oldest parts written by Arnold, who seems to be this mysterious character which opened the park 30
years
ago?
Should we say, are we going to spoil it?
Oh, we'll talk about it. Yeah, we may as
we're
well.
We're going to do like vague spoilers. We're not going to like really ruin anything.
It's not a big spoiler,
so
but Anthony
it's actually a pretty hard thing to spoil because not that much has been revealed 5 episodes in. And that's been one of the biggest criticisms
it has been.
Of the show.
See, I binged it. So to me, I haven't been... as like I've watched all 5 in 1 week. So for me, that hasn't been as a glaring... notice as opposed to maybe somebody who's watching it week by week.
This is the first television show that I've ever watched without my wife.
Oh wow.
Since we started dating. So this is a big move.
This is power.
I haven't told her that I've watched it. This is the closest to closest to cheating I've ever done.
Yeah.
B doesn't
listen
anymore.
They're just robots. It doesn't matter. It's not real.
It's just robots, B.
But yeah, the plot is one of the plot points is that Dr. Ford, you'll call him Dr. Ford, opened the park with a partner 30 years ago, and his partner
Dr. Ford is played by
Anthony Hopkins,
the Hopper,
who plays his usual self of melancholic yet whimsical self.
Yep.
Always looks a bit sad, but always a bit happy.
Yes.
That's old Hopko, isn't it? He opened a park 30 years ago with his partner who died in the park. And the robots have maybe started speaking to programming bits of him or something. We don't really understand. But this old decadent part of the park was one that he'd built, did they say? It'd been there forever, 30 years and...
Yeah, the deeper you get into the park, the kind of...
The more dangerous it gets.
You basically like... Because, yeah, it's one thing to kind of have all the sex and shootouts you want.
Which is what all the basic people do. They go there for a weekend, they fuck a robot,
exactly.
And then they go home.
The deeper you get, the closer you get to war.
Yeah.
And that's the, like... That's the best thing that you can...
The
most
to be a part of
thing
war.
You can do. Yeah.
And we saw someone kind of get reasonably hurt recently. Like, one of the rules is... You know, you can get shot at. It looks like a paintball type of thing almost.
Yeah,
like
you get
a bruise. But we saw a guy cop a beating this week, the kind of dickhead who's
actually looking to buy the park.
Yeah, they've got a stake in it or something. Yeah, and it's like, we want to up our stake. Now, I know we're jumping all over the place. I didn't know this, but I've been reading a lot of theories about it, that the show's actually set in two different timelines. Have you ever think of that? So the Man in Black timeline with him...
talking to them,
played by Ed Harris, who's riding around trying to find the maze, is a separate timeline to the one with William, who's the nice guy and the dickhead, and they're set years apart. Apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's something that someone's called on, and I don't know if it's because there's a Nolan in the title, so they're like, this must be out
yeah,
of.
Sure.
But there's a couple of videos going around which I haven't watched yet. Which one of the big theories is William, who's nice and wears the white hat and is kind of very protective of things, ends up becoming the Man in Black and is going there for 30 years.
Oh, cool.
So maybe it's him who has the stake in it and is marrying in. Like, someone's...
That'd be a great twist.
For spoiling, but there's a lot of theories there, and the show creators haven't commented, obviously. They're just saying, like, your theories are really good, we're reading them. That could be one of the theories.
Yeah.
I'm into that idea. So there's this kind of guy, played amazing, probably my favorite character in the show, played by Ed Harris, who's... one of the visitors to the park.
Oh, he's by far the most...
He's the best thing about
it. Yeah.
But he's not a bad guy because, like, he's a show... the closest thing, I guess, the show has to a traditional bad guy, i.e. he wears black and kills people.
Mm.
But they're robots, and he's just trying to get to a deeper part of the game, which he's heard rumors about for years. But he is doing what would be deemed bad things, but they're not bad because they're actually part of the game, i.e. scalping a robot. But underneath the skin, there's actually a tattoo of a map, so he's, like, on the right path. And it's awesome. And you're kind of, like, going, fuck, this guy's kind of super badass and violent, but he's doing what's in his rights to explore the park, which is really amazing. I'm kind of love that kind of...
Hopkins' character had, so, you know, who am I to get in the way of a good story?
A journey
of self,
and
whatever.
All we know is of somewhat importance, because a random came up to him, another visitor to the park, and said, oh, I can't believe it's you, sir, I'm a big fan, thank you for saving my sister.
Yeah.
And then he's like, don't talk to me, I'm on holiday. And you're like, oh, who is this guy?
Yeah.
So it could be a younger version of Sol. I mean, that makes it's a bit plausible, because you've got to imagine Dolores, who is played amazingly by Evan Rachel Wood, who is, I'd say, the closest thing the show has to a protagonist. We found out she's the oldest host at the park. We're introduced to her as a bit of a damsel in distress. But now we're seeing her kind of transform into this gun-toting cowgirl.
Totally rewriting her
story.
Which
is sick.
Yeah.
But maybe that's set in the past. I don't know. It's really weird. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
But then the... Oh, yeah, okay.
Or the other theory is maybe there's multiple versions of these characters going around at once, which was what happened with the guy who was hung and then became...
Lawrence,
which he was like, it's cool because you see these robots are now starting to be reused as different characters. Like, he was a kind of dimwit, illiterate kind of goon, and now he's kind of in charge of, like, one of the most deadly, he's one of the most desired villain, like, wanted men in the world that the game makes. So the writers kind of reuse bodies, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
There's a lot of cool ideas going on. There are a few things that, like, I think it is way too... All the dialogue is way too self-important.
It's very, very easily parodiable. Like, you know, SNL will be able to parody this with no problems.
So simply. Yeah.
Like, Dolores, like, what are you doing?
The only scenes that aren't The scenes between the like that the
Man in Black,
the Man in Black, and then the new guy and his yeah. shithead, like, you know,
yeah.
Not friend, but like, you know,
yeah.
he's gone there.
And like I really like that new guy. He's actually like a nice moral sister. Compass for the show, you know.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah. I think those two.
And he's
are
from
like,
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Is he
played like one of the inbred guys? Who's
oh,
like,
shit, he did too.
Yeah, yeah, someone pointed that out to me. I'm like, fuck, I can't unsee that now.
But the long discussions, especially behind the scenes
about
with the
man
robots,
and God and,
that
yeah.
shit, like, that's the, like, okay, tune out.
Yeah.
Play the swim game for a while.
Yeah, no, I can see that for sure. I get rock hard over robots who think they're humans, I mean.
Oh, totally. That stuff's, yeah.
I love this genre, so I'm just excited. There's another series. The closest thing, I know you haven't watched Battlestar, have you? But
no.
I mean, like, man, I've got it on Blu-ray.
Next
like
time I
too.
Have a spare month.
Yeah. Next time your kids are in college.
There's that great, what's the name of Fred Armisen's sketch
yeah.
show?
Yeah,
Portlandia.
Yeah. One more episode.
When they watch it all in
just
the
one
weekend.
More rep, and then they watch it like over the whole weekend, and it's just like, this is decadent as fuck.
Didn't you kind of do a similar thing?
I've watched that series, I think, twice, and yeah, it's the best show to watch. It's like, it's amazing, but I'm getting a lot of illusions from that. Essentially, that leans really heavily on Blade Runner, and they're like more human than human, and robots that are unaware that they're robot vibe, and I'm loving that with Westworld, where these. You actually feel bad for the people who are supposed to be the villains, the robots.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for that shit.
Especially like the nice guy, the guy from Always Sunny.
Yeah.
He almost treats them as human. And so
yeah,
when
to
he
the point where he's being ridiculed
lives,
by his friend.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, you should just be fucking that thing or killing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like I'm watching it and I'm constantly, and I seldom do this, I'm constantly going, what would I do? And
yeah.
I think I am such, like, I'm the guy when I play a Zelda game, I treat everyone nice. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, I use
Red
my
Dead Redemption and Infamous, yeah. you have opportunities to play as the evil character, to play, you know, you can
yeah.
be the bad guy in Red
and
Dead.
And there's been games that, like, do
and
that
I can't,
even better.
I can't do it.
Yeah, like, even like, when I play, I'll, like, Grand Theft Auto and stuff, like, I know you're supposed to drive around and smash the fuck out of
me. Oh, okay, Grand Theft Auto is the exception to the rule. I kill
but
everybody
But I have a big problem doing it. I don't know why.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, the video game connection to this, it's like...
No, I'm thinking Metal Gear. I could have been a prick in Metal Gear in Phantom Pain.
Right.
And when you are, apparently, you know how you have the shrapnel in your head?
Yeah.
It grows and grows until it's like a huge horn and your face gets covered in blood that can't come off.
Wow.
So, like, you get demonized in that game. Like, you have to do some pretty bad shit, I think. Like, you basically don't do stealth. You just kill everybody.
Right.
So, you can do that. And I've made such conscious decisions to never follow that path. Because I'm weird and have nothing else going for me in life, I guess.
I just kind of fell around and then quit after three levels.
Hey, some of us are...
some of us are good at those kind of games. Others aren't. Yeah, I mean, And the Red Dead connection as well, especially, you know, given that we know we're going to be entering that world again soon, and you do have the choice to be an outlaw or to be a good guy. I think
it can't come at a better time, can it, while this is in the public conscious.
Like my main criticism of this is that I could kind of just like to see more humans in the park interacting, because we really only have
I really want some standalone episodes. Like, I want to see an episode. Like, and hopefully once they kind of set up, because we're still learning the rules.
This is like the longest intro episode.
It really is. Yep. We're still learning like the rules of the park. We still don't know when it's like there's. They haven't really done a spoon fed. This is the pilot episode, and we teach you everything. Like, I know why they're not doing it. There are reasons, but I can't wait for them to get past that once we learn rules. Like, bring twists, keep twists coming. But I want to know more of the rules of the park. Which the show will then have to abide to. And then we can get like an episode, like a family stuck in a saloon on the weekend because the robots have gone fucking crazy and they're characters we haven't met before. But, you know, and they call them bottle episodes, you know, ones that are self-contained. Like the fly from Breaking Bad's a famous one, a famous example. I can't wait for those to come, and hopefully they do come. I want like a kid who's stuck on a ride episode.
Oh, I love the kid who's been the kid robot.
There's some theories that, he's like a Anthony Hopkins version of the kid or something. Right. Stuff, because he's always appearing with his stick. Like, it's kind of eerie too. Like, the show's got this cool sense of eeriness.
Definitely.
And like, there's theories that it's not even set on Earth.
Right.
Like, it could be set on Mars once Mars been terraformed, and because it is huge. Or is it a VR experience? Like, no one knows. Like, there's some cool twists ahead. Maybe disappointing twists. I wouldn't love the VR one, I think.
Yeah, I think that would be boring. I like the idea.
I mean, we're actually seeing these people build robots, actually, so I don't think that's a huge...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we're seeing these. And I love the way they're made. Like, they're this weird, organic, kind of sewn together.
Oh, and the montage at the beginning, like the opening
theme. Oh, the opening credits are great.
It's so good.
I don't skip it. Like, it's one of those...
I don't know. It's because I was binging it. I was trying to watch all five episodes in a short amount of time, and I just couldn't skip it. I love that theme song.
The music's great.
It reminds me a lot of the Daredevil theme song, which I think
really is
the best,
part
of that show.
I'm loving it. Yeah. I'm loving it. This is... But yeah, I mean, so far, I'm into the series. I can see why people are annoyed, but also I don't mind for those reasons. Like, I'm not annoyed.
Yeah, I think... Like, I don't know.
I don't need a show that ends on a cliffhanger every week, and I know a lot of shows are like that.
And it's not doing any of the things that I really don't... Like, I don't mind a slow television show.
Neither do I.
I'm at the point now where I'm like, okay, you know what, it's fine.
Look,
I can tune out every now and then,
and
it's okay. Like, if you want to hang on every single word that's said and look for clues, you can do that.
And I do that. I'm doing that, and I'm
loving
this
show,
it.
Yeah, whereas I'm just kind of more casual approach. I'm okay with having my phone in my hand for this show.
I think it's a show you can do both for.
Yeah.
And you, like,
get you a show that can do both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm really like... I'm glad I've got a show to watch that is out week by week that isn't called Game of Thrones, because I fucking hate that show. And I really hope it builds up I've seen a lot of sites and like subreddits and stuff, and people who are like doing that clue hunting and making some dope timelines.
You know, it's pretty obvious from listening to the show that we're obviously much more in tune with a sci-fi kind of show than a fantasy one.
Yeah, I'm into it. I just love it. You know, and it has echoes of Jurassic Park, and we fucking love Jurassic Park.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to keep watching it. I really hope it gets greenlit for a season two.
I'm sure it will.
They need to, in a way. This is the show that I think they're trying to hope will carry... I think Jonah Nolan has said there's seven seasons.
Yeah, and I reckon like, the theories that I've read aren't theories based on what's going to happen in the story.
Yeah.
It's based on what HBO are trying to do with this.
Yeah.
And so like I heard a theory that this is... They are playing the long game with this first season, and then there is going to be this ridiculous twist that they're really going to really properly earn.
By the end of season one.
And which is... Because it's, you know, that'll be before... Game of Thrones
ends. Sure.
And then so once Game of Thrones is done,
people will be gagging to see what
happens. Exactly, yeah.
I really hope that happens. I mean, it's kind of shit to know that we need a big twist to keep us interested, but I'm into it.
Is Game of Thrones on concurrently? Or
it's not on now, and they're doing a Mad Men / Breaking Bad and splitting up the final season into 2 years.
Right.
Of seven episodes or something.
Okay, sure.
It's the new season finale.
Breaking Bad did that.
Yeah, Breaking Bad and Mad Men were the first. I think Mad Men was the first. Yeah. Oh, no, Breaking Bad was.
It's an AMC thing.
Yeah, it's just an AMC thing, guys. Get you a channel who gives you two Walking Dead shows.
You mentioned, two of your heroes, J.J. Abrams and Nolan, working on the show. One of my favorite comic book writers is actually involved in the writing and production as well.
Oh, fuck no.
Ed Brubaker.
I had no idea. I love Brubaker.
Yeah, his name comes up in the credits every couple of episodes.
Responsible for some of the greatest runs of some of the best, Marvel and DC own characters, and his own characters.
Yeah, Criminal is brilliant.
Yeah, thanks for getting me onto that.
Yeah, that's excellent one.
I had no idea. That's sick.
Alexi Taliopoulos actually has all of my Criminal issues.
If you're listening, Levins wants them back,
or at least just fucking read them, you prick.
Yeah, we get it. You like Mike Myers. What would Mike do?
I mean, Brubeck has done a brilliant Catwoman run.
Great Daredevil run.
Captain America run that was pretty much turned
pretty
into
much
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and Civil War. Did it pick up the thread? No, and Civil War.
It pretty much follows.
And that only finished like 2 years ago. Just before Marvel Now.
It feels like 2 years ago, but it was actually about six.
Oh, okay.
Two, fuck. Five. Five-ish. Four.
It was one of the best.
4 years, I don't know.
Probably the best.
Around the same time Animal Crossing came out.
Probably the best Cap run. Like, it's always heralded as
it's
like...
It's fantastic run.
Yeah. It did Winter Soldier. It did the death of Steve Rogers. It did everything. It was incredible.
Yeah, really good stuff. He's an incredible writer. And at the moment...
Man, that makes me pumped. I had no idea. How did I miss that?
Yeah.
I guess I've been avoiding stuff about this because I'm not up to date. And I'm now excited to watch the show and have a week to read, you know, the think pieces and the stuff. So I think I purposely switched off reading about it because I wasn't up... Yeah, I wasn't up to date.
Yes, I'm funny with that. Like, when I've watched an episode, I do like to see what other people thought of it.
Yeah, so I love it. It's kind of like a sports match and reading like all the other people's opinions or something.
I mean, it's why people probably listen to this podcast. But I'll like immediately go to AV Club. And when I was a kid, that used to be like, I always saw eye to eye with AV Club.
Yeah, I don't.
And now I never do.
I follow the writers. Don't follow them, but I know who's writing this season. And sure. Like, I hate it when someone's like, hey, I've never watched South Park, but going to write about South Park season 20. And I'm kind of like, well, I've watched every South Park. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. The biggest, like, stark kind of difference between my opinion and theirs is in regards to Vice Principals, which just I finally caught up on.
I've got one ep to go. Sorry,
how the fuck have you not watched the last episode?
Because I ended up... I went to watch it, then accidentally watched four seasons of Eastbound and Down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you haven't watched that final episode yet?
No, is it great?
Yeah, man. It is a very different ending to what I was expecting.
Cool. Okay. Say no more.
I'll watch it and we'll talk about it next week.
But I know it's being written as two seasons.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Danny McBride's come out and said...
And the second season is going to be wildly different to the first, I think.
Amazing.
Okay, All right, say no more. Yeah.
I'll watch it tonight.
I cannot believe you didn't watch it.
Yeah, same here. I seriously got sidetracked with Eastbound and Down.
I love that you watched all four seasons of Eastbound and
Down. I bought
them
too. I was like
in the space of time since we said we've got one episode left to go, which is weeks ago.
I bought them all on iTunes and watched them. It was
That's
the best.
So great.
Yeah, it was great.
Have you got many other shows on your pile of to watch at the moment?
I've got basically getting hyped up for Rogue One, but I have a lot of shows in my pile.
I got Luke Cage.
I've got Luke Cage.
Season 2 of Mr. Robot. I still haven't done season 2 of Better Call Saul.
I've got all of that too.
And then,
I'm so behind.
And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have
started. It is hard.
As well.
Like, it's hard to kind of go, when I go home, I will now just watch shows. And I wish I had that luxury.
I even had like a backlog of Last Week Tonight. I like watching that with my wife.
Yeah, that's but a great show.
You know, we still haven't even reached Brexit yet.
Fuck. Imagine you'll be finding out which president gets in by in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the most political we've ever
that's
gotten.
That's how I hear all my news 6 months later here. Through Last Week Tonight.
Through John Oliver monologues.
Yeah.
No, I basically got just getting pumped up. It's like a month basically until Rogue One is out. Can you believe that? The machine's
we should think
about
buying our tickets.
They're not on sale yet. Yeah, I'll let you know when they are. But the machine has not started. Same time, same place.
Yep.
Midnight at Fox. We know. You know they're going to turn it up.
Yeah.
You into going there again?
Yeah, of course.
All right, see.
Yeah, that was fun as.
Big news. Well, not big news, but a kind of will they, won't they rumor that hasn't seemed to die, that's been persisted ever since this movie's been in the like post-production period is will there or won't there be an opening crawl, the iconic Star Wars opening crawl. And this week seems to be the most confirmation that this movie will not have an opening Star Wars crawl. I repeat, Rogue One will be the first cinematic Star Wars movie, not including the Clone Wars movie, to have no opening crawl.
So this is like this to me is like such a non-event. Like,
I know,
but people
it's
are
huge,
going
though.
Apeshit.
It's like the opening crawl is so iconic. I mean, it's one of the most parodied, you know, intros to a movie ever.
Yeah.
And it is,
you know, it's the recap page of
the recap.
Star Wars.
And, you know, Lucas borrowed it from 50 serials when, you know, you jump in, you watch Flash Gordon. And
Cocoa Pops.
Fruit Loops. Yeah. That you can still get them then, except they use real sugar then. And cocaine, like all good things in their original form. It was a classic recap tool. And, you know, it was used to, I think, brilliantly to describe a universe which audiences had never seen before in three paragraphs in the first Star Wars movie. And you kind of knew there's good guys, there's bad guys, and it did it in 30 seconds. It was fantastic. I see why some people are upset, but I, for one, welcome our crawlless overlords for these standalone Star Wars movies. I think they're quite restrictive everyone we've seen, it opens in, you have to open in a cold open in space.
Yep.
You then pan down and it, you know, you arrive on a ship or a planet. I'm excited. I mean, if Lucasfilm and Disney want these standalones to have a very different feel, you get rid of the opening crawl. One problem I see is that audience members who are dumb, i.e. not Star Wars autistic like myself, will be confused at where this movie's set and its time frame, considering the Death Star is well and done. Both Death Stars have been destroyed. And why is Darth Vader alive? Like, that
I'm
could
sure there's going to be some level of explaining where we're at in the world.
I mean, the classiest way to do it is an opening crawl. But I don't mind if these the Star Wars episodes, the saga, will just keep...
No, because it'll be open, I like that. Someone's going to be in an A-wing. They're going to turn on their radio.
Yeah.
And the radio is going to be like, okay, like,
yeah.
Here's what's gone down.
Which
in
is
the blah,
how
blah,
the Clone Wars opens. It would have like 1950s radio, blah 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 blah. Like it does, it would explain to you like that, because I guess kids can't read that well, and to have a crawl would be a bit too much.
Right.
And
is
some
that how
people,
Clone Wars happens? Is it?
Yeah. In the it's like right. a 50s like clones attack, blah blah blah,
right,
and
cool.
it's like explains it in like. Four lines. It's really cool. It's kind of like, some people don't like it, but it does keep in tune with the Lucas borrowing from, you know, serials of days past, like those off Weet-Bix in the pantry. But I'm down for it. I think it's cool. Like, let these filmmakers make a movie that isn't opening in space. Like, you know, you can open this new Star Wars film anywhere. Yeah. It would be a bummer if they got restricted or bored or had to launch a certain way. I don't know.
I'm really excited for Rogue One. The level of merchandise and promo is nowhere near as heavy as it was this time last year.
We knew it wasn't going to be. I mean, I reckon Episode 8 will be.
Yeah.
That's the one that people are going to be, you know, getting pumped about when they see those characters that we now love.
The characters aren't as toyable.
Totally. And that's really interesting. It's like a very much more adult-themed looking film.
The Alan Tudyk voiced...
K2SO.
He's cool. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's kind of like Iron Giant meets.
It's gonna be the only Star Wars Lego set I buy this year is the one with him. One unless it's with him in it, because I want that figure.
Which one is it?
I don't know. He's in a few of them.
He's in a few. Yeah,
a few choices.
Exciting. I picked up the advent calendar yesterday.
The Star Wars advent calendar.
10% off.
Yeah,
I got Hobby Co. Drop in.
I got 20% off.
Oh, wow.
At Target a few months ago.
It's not a contest, but you won.
Can I ask you a Star Wars question that might make you and listeners' bloods boil?
Yeah, go for it.
There was an article that went up last week on cracked.com, because now they put up actually quite clever articles.
Yeah, it's really funny.
About rape culture in movies.
Wow.
And they brought up the example of Han Solo's interaction with Leia in... I think it's Empire Strikes Back.
Yep, when he's like kissing her in the confines.
He pretty much like forces himself onto her.
This is true.
I watched that with my wife last year.
Yeah.
But she'd never seen it before. And
bless her.
She thinks Han Solo is gross.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I grew up thinking Han Solo was the fucking man.
Yeah.
And I still think he is. But I can't not watch those shows and feel gross too.
Yeah, no, I've never thought of it that way. I can totally see why. I will need to watch again to see how I feel now. I just thought, you know, he was acting on a pheromonal level. Perhaps it was midichlorians and, you know, I don't want to say the phrase, she was asking for it because she wasn't. But... you know, there's some chemistry in that movie. No, I mean, it's not like she's a stranger.
Totally.
Like,
there is chemistry in two movies. And he was playing on that. I mean, you wouldn't see that in movies these days.
No. It was a very 50s,
Totally. You're like,
it was quite shy of slapping a girl in the face and kissing her.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It was like a few degrees lower of that.
Yeah.
But no, you know, she's been flirting with him. They've had a flirty relationship. He's had been eyeing her for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
In canon speak. I don't know. I think it warrants a kiss.
It wasn't so much that they kiss, it was he shoves her head up against like metal, like directly behind her.
In his defense, she has very cushioned hair.
Yeah.
No,
it's one of those things. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, it happened years ago before people thought very long about things like that.
Yeah. And it also, it would be far worse if Leia was a damsel in distress.
Totally.
She's definitely not, which I think a lot of people still forget, that Leia is like the one calling the shots in A New Hope.
Absolutely.
During the Death Star escape.
And she still is in Force Awakens.
She still is. And I do like that. And Yeah, I don't know. It does add to their love-hate. They have a love-hate relationship, as we saw even in The Force Awakens. You know, they can't stand each other, but are madly in love still. And it's a tragedy. And I just got really sad then thinking about the fact Han Solo is dead.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah, that's like the saddest death since MCA from the Beastie Boys for me.
There are so many videos, stories and things on the internet about parents of kids who loved the design of Kylo Ren so much in the lead up to Force Awakens and now had to like throw out all of the Kylo Ren stuff once they've saw
once
the movie,
he committed patricide and murdered his father
favorite character.
Yeah, and I'm really Kylo, what did you do?
That article that I talked about also used the example of that I'd never even thought about, and I've seen this movie quite recently, of Ratatouille.
Oh yeah, sure.
When basically, you know, Remy the rat forces
Linguini to grope a girl.
He falls on top of the girl and then goes in for the kiss.
Yeah,
the character that Janinga Ruffalo voices, yeah. And she has pepper spray and she's about to mace him, and then she decides, oh no, I'm into this, and
not
then
this guy.
Puts the pepper spray down while they're making out.
Yeah, shit.
It's pretty.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I completely
Pixar.
Forgot about that too.
Real dark
weird.
Hours.
I mean, remember when there was that massive amount of controversy over Spielberg and George Lucas editing certain moments of their films, like you know
the guns,
the gun out of E.T. and replacing it with a phone.
Uh-huh.
Do you think like film studios are gonna get woke soon and do version of these movies?
Let's find out who gets in the U.S. presidency, and then we I reckon that'll be very reflective. Yeah, I'm all for the I don't know. It's hard.
I know. On one hand,
Don't get too woke. But then don't make an all-female version of the movie to try and cover up the non-wokeness.
No, but the all-female part of that movie was not the bad part of Ghostbusters.
No. But I mean, don't do a...
If anything, the worst part of that movie were the original male
don't
Ghostbusters.
Don't do the surface-level wokeness, you know, for the sake of it.
You only didn't like that movie because it wasn't set in the same universe. That's your main problem with
it. Yeah, and it wasn't funny. two major reasons.
Man, I was... the other day I had like a moment where I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do if Rogue One is shit?
Yeah.
Because I
Which
feel
is a
like,
complete... You know, we had this thought with Episode 7. We're like, what if it's bad?
Oh, but I don't care for me.
Yeah. What do you mean? What am I going to do?
Because I don't think we've had a moment in the last year on Hey Fam where you've liked something and I haven't.
Look, man, you didn't know me during the prequels. I've been through this before.
Yeah.
I'm a seasoned vet when it comes to negative Star Wars gearing.
Because I feel like I'll always kind of defend things that like aren't truly bad. I'll try and go like, but this part was good. Of like, you know, Doctor Strange, for example, or
the parts for a good movie. Ben Mendelsohn, Darth Vader, Death Star, different style Star Wars movie. It's almost this time last year we were saying the same thing. Like J.J. Abrams, Harrison Ford, Chewbacca. Yeah. Like, it has all the parts for it to go well, but also are people not wanting that? Do they want a very... I don't know. And it's very risky too because it's not an episode.
I like about it so far is that the trailers have not given away too much at all. That's
fine. For a movie that we know how it essentially ends, they steal the Death Star plans. I still don't really know anything about the film.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, and it looks fucking sexy.
Did you see the trailer for the new Wonder Woman movie?
Yes. It was okay.
I thought it was a really good trailer, but I'm beyond ever getting my hopes up for a DC movie again.
Oh, same here. That's what we have to speak about. Speaking of DC, look, the trailer was fine. It had a lot of echoes. It looked pretty.
Yep.
The stuff said on the Amazonian, what is it? What's that island?
Themyscira.
Huh?
Themyscira.
Themyscira. Looks beautiful. Yep. Looks like the beach, basically, without Leo. It looked, you know, very hard not to see shades of Captain America. That's fine.
Yeah, totally.
The first Avenger, given the period setting.
When that end theme comes in at the end too.
Yeah.
I was like the one thing, one of the... I know a lot of people don't like that theme at all. No, thanks. But I thought that was my favorite thing about Batman v Superman.
Okay. I still find it a bit silly and out of place, but I don't mind it. It's just like some dude wailing on a guitar. Yeah. It's kind of funny. Sounds like the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, it totally does. That's why I like it so much.
But speaking of DC and losing faith, there was a little leak yesterday, it appears, by the strangest of places, Bret Easton Ellis, author of American Psycho.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest novels of the last, you know,
I've
20
read
years.
Any of them.
You haven't read any of them?
No.
I'm a big fanboy. He recently said in an interview that he was eating dinner with some people who were familiar with the script, Ben Affleck's script for The Batman, the standalone film. And the execs, friends of other execs who work at Warner Brothers, and, you know, this has to be taken with a grain of salt, who said, The execs saw the script and said there are 30 problems in it that we can fix right now, but we're not going to because 70% of the audience watching this won't be seeing this in English, which to me sums up filmmaking by Hollywood filmmaking in 2016. I mean, we don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
It does sound extremely true, though, given their last three films.
I just find it so funny that,
they haven't learned?
That Bret Easton Ellis is, like, in a position to just tell people this. Like,
yeah.
What a cunt move. But also, I love that he did it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Like, even if it's not true, I find it so much funnier.
I think it's hilarious. He's literally just saying,
fuck DC.
But what's funny, he gave Batman vs. Superman one of his favorite movies of the year.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. He was like, I remember him tweeting that, and I'm like, I'm not with you there.
Yeah.
I think he liked it because it was so ridiculous and over the top and stupid. I don't know. He has his reasons. I won't remember them because I blocked trauma. But I'm not surprised by that. It's also disappointing, like, that they know they've got a turd on their hands and they're just like, The same people will go see it and just make money again. It'll be Suicide Squad. Like, they've pretty much said, like, you know, Suicide Squad made close to $1 billion.
Yeah.
We don't need to
start barracking people not to pay for these movies.
Like, I want to go in and film it on a handy cam and then distribute online so no one else... Like, I spend $20 on it, but no one else has to.
Because, like, they're just... If these... I mean, look, we don't know. Maybe Wonder Woman's good. You know, there are leaks from that that it's not... And I don't trust DC. And there was more news this week that Flash has lost its director.
Yes, third
again.
Director.
So the guy that did Dope is gone.
Third director. I mean, that smells
apparently
fucking...
Apparently, his version of Flash was meant to be edgier. So maybe that's a good thing that he's not there. But
that just spells trouble, doesn't it?
It's just fucking weird.
It's weird
just,
as shit.
Like, they're just plagued with problems.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, they're really trying to make Justice League seem like the most fun, appealing movie ever by just like being open and having
nothing
press
about
come
this
and watch it get filmed. But yeah, DC,
where did it all go wrong?
Probably Man of Steel.
I would say. No, you're right, Man of Steel. Well, that does it again for another one of the. We love Nintendo. We still love Star Wars. We're watching a new show, and DC, we hate you. Episode of Hey Fam.
Yeah, I mean that's a classic. Coming together of things that we talk about on the show,
HBO.
But it is unfortunate that, like, you know, we definitely, even though we'd been burned by DC so many times when we started this podcast, now we've gotten to that point officially where we just won't get our hopes up ever again.
Yeah, and you know, great versions of Batman exist. I mean, there's one coming out. Lego Batman looks incredible.
Okay, that
new
looks
trailer
fucking
this
amazing.
Week.
Oh my god, the trailer for that looks so great.
That's one thing I have hope from DC at the moment.
And Warner Brothers too. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and also, Fantastic Beasts is out next week.
Beasts and How to Fuck Them. It looks real great. But again, I just don't trust Warner Brothers.
Horrible Beasts and How to Fuck Them could be an alternate title for Westworld, couldn't it?
Cool, we came full circle almost.
And also, shout-outs to the third Hemsworth brother being in Westworld.
Oh,
he's
is he?
He's a security guard.
Oh, no way.
Who came around with the girl when that bald one was going crazy trying to climb the rocks.
Cool. I'm glad he's getting work.
You've
been listening to Hey Fam. You can find us online, facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast.
Thanks a lot, Famalama Ding Dongs.
That's what we call you.
Per every episode. Oh, I want to say a special shout out to Hey Fam family member, Albert Santos. Came through with the goods, not drugs.
Pretty much drugs.
Pretty much more my drugs. He, being a longtime listener of the show, knows that I have an affinity for Bandai's SH Figuarts Star Wars series, and he's streamlining his toy collection and had bought a Captain Phasma, which he realized was the start of something nasty if he were to continue this path of purchasing. So he offered to sell it to me at literally half price and brought it to me mint in its box, just delivered that day. And great doing transactions with your buddy. If anyone else wants to sell some shit,
if any listeners, I know a lot of other podcasts, inferior podcasts, we'll, you know, have sponsors, ask for you to donate to...
You're our sponsors.
To Patreon. So that, you know what?
We're beyond that.
Give us your toys.
Yeah, give us your toys.
Give us your toys.
Not in a bully sense, but...
Give us your toys for half price.
Yeah.
That's what you... As listeners, that would be great.
That's the top tier Patreon, isn't it? Like, you get to sell one of us a toy for half price. So congratulations, Albert, for doing
incredible incentive.
Yeah, that was a $60 top tier one. So thank you if anyone else wants to follow through. Oh, wait, no, we lost money. No, anyway. it worked out well. Anyway, big shout outs.
Yeah, thanks to Albert. And send us an email, heyfampodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook again, facebook.com/heyfampodcast.
We love the way you
let
look.
Let us know what you'd like us to talk about in the future. We're going to be...
Let us know if you're watching Westworld and you're vibing on us.
Let us know if you love watching sports at the 871 bar, smashing those $5 cores. It's a good way to live.
Smashing those cores. Cores is the password.
You can find Angus online at Chimichangas.
That's
I'm at LevDog. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your morning.
Love you. Hey! Bam! 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 Bam!
Hey, this is Levins. Thanks so much for listening to Hey Fam. If you're not completely sick of my voice, why don't you go and check out one of my other podcasts? One of them is called The Mitchin and is all about the Sydney food and bar scene. And the other one is called Serious Issues and is all about comic books. If you get angry that Angus and I don't talk about comic books anymore, it's because all I do is talk about comic books at Serious Issues. So go there instead. You can find both of the podcasts on iTunes or download them directly at yolevins.com/podcasts. Thanks so much for listening and for your support, and I'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.